/orchestra/auditions.
Throughout the week, we bring you health and accessibility programming. Mondays at 10 a.m., keystrokes. Mondays at 5 p.m., the assistive tech update. Mondays at 5:30 p.m., blind abilities. Wednesdays at 10 a.m., the blindness and disability news hour. The AARP report and the diabetic news programs fill out the hours Thursdays at 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. and Sundays at 6 p.m. Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Nebulizer with peroxide to prevent COVID-19. Dear Dr. Roach, I've been hearing about using a nebulizer with peroxide to treat or prevent COVID-19 infection. Is this effective? Is it safe? KG. Answer: it is neither effective nor safe. Hydrogen peroxide is a powerful chemical that is toxic both to germs and to human cells. It should never be used undiluted on any part of the body, especially not on open wounds or on mucous membranes. Inhaling cleansing agents like peroxide or bleach is incredibly dangerous and can cause permanent lung damage. You can clean a nebulizer with dilute cleansing chemicals, but never inhale anything other than the prescribed medication.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 74 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 60s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Betsy, and I'll be reading Entertainment Weekly this week. The following articles are from their website, EW.com. Kaylee Cuoco has landed her next TV vehicle. The Big Bang Theory alum and flight attendant star is set to play legendary actress Doris Day in a limited series. Cuoco says yes. Narman Productions and super producer Greg Berlantes from Berlantes Productions are once again teaming with Warner Brothers Television, this time landing the rights to officially do the story. It will be called The Biography Doris Day, Her Own Story. She was a singer, actress, and activist, and was one of the film's biggest stars in the 1950s and 60s. She passed away in 2019 at the age of 97. The new project for Cuoco continues her relationship with Warner Brothers, which began in 2007 with the mega hit Big Bang, and recently expanded with The Flight Attendant, one of HBO Max's first and far most successful originals. Cuoco will return to her Golden Globe-nominated role of Cassie Bowden when Flight Attendant returns for Season 2 in 2022. Variety first reported the news of the Day series. Stars greenlight Season 7 of Outlander. We are so excited. Can you believe it? Another season. On Sunday, the network announced it has given the green light to Season 7 of this epic time-traveling series. The 12-episode season will be based on the 7th of the 8 books called the Outlander series, An Echo in the Bone. We are so excited that Starz has given us the opportunity to continue this epic Outlander journey, showrunner Matthew B. Roberts said in a statement. We can't wait to get into the writer's room and start breaking Echo in the Bone, and look forward to giving the fans another season of this exhilarating story. The sixth season of Outlander is currently in productions in Scotland. Sam Heughan shared the news that they were back on set via social media in February. We're back, wrote the Scottish actor on Twitter, sharing a picture of himself and his co-star riding in a horse-drawn buggy on Twitter. I feel very fortunate to be working right now. Productions are ensuring everyone that it's safe and protected. Now, just need to deal with the snow. Well, a premiere date for season 6 of Outlander has not yet been announced, but we will look forward to hearing when it will. In the battle for global box office records, Avatar surpassed Avengers: Endgame over the weekend to reclaim its place as the highest grossing film of all time. Avatar, which was released in China over the weekend, previously held the record until Endgame set it even higher in 2019. We are so proud to reach this great milestone, but Jim and I are most thrilled that the film is back in theaters during these unprecedented times, and we want to thank the Chinese fans for their support. We are hard at work on the next Avatar films and look forward to sharing the continuation of this epic story for years to come. Marvel Studios also congratulated all of them and said, we know it will be something worth waiting for. The best of luck. Citizens at a vaccination clinic in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, were treated to an impromptu concert courtesy of world-renowned celloist and fellow shot recipient Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Ma received his second dose of the coronavirus vaccine at Berkshire Community College on Saturday. And rather than wait out his mandatory 15-minute observation period, he pulled out his cello and put on a performance. He wanted to give back. Richard Hall of the Berkshire Corona 19 collaboration told the Berkshire Eagle, what a way to end the clinic. Yo-Yo Mom remained masked and sat against a wall, socially distant from the rest of the observation area, and played Ave Maria and Bach's Cello Suite Number 1 in G major, to applause from his small but appreciative crowd. The Berkshire Community College shared the video of his performance. Yo-Yo Ma received his second shot 1 year from the day he tweeted a video of himself playing Going Home under his very special Songs of Comfort as a way to ease the anxiety gripping the world. Well, we are so proud and thankful for sharing his talent. Kristen Ritter recalls filming her Breaking Bad character's death, saying, I will never forget it. More than a decade on, Jane's death on Breaking Bad remains one of the most chilling, jaw-dropping moments in TV history. Actress Kristen Ritter didn't quite feel that way, though, not until the time that it came to film. It wasn't really until we were shooting it that the whole death around the character hit me, Ritter recalls in the latest episode of People's TV's Couch Surfing. So I knew I was going to die. I'm reading the script. I was like, cool, rock and roll, she dies, so much fun. But then you're doing it, she continues, and you're in this death makeup. They build a cast for my chest so that Aaron Paul can really be pounding on my chest. And then Bryan Cranston, after the take, you just see him sitting quietly in the corner. It was very intense, and I will never forget it. To recap, near the end of AMC series second season, Walter White, who is Cranston, lets Jane die while she and her boyfriend Jesse Paul, Walter's literal partner in crime, are strung out on heroin. It's a key moment in Walter's Mr. Chips into Scarface arc, as series creator Vince Gillian famously puts it, and one of the show's most shocking and acclaimed moments. Talk about the cult following, Ritter adds on Couch Surfing. The show really is the gift that keeps me giving. Indeed, the Jessica Jones star reprised her role in a flashback on Netflix 2019, followed up with El Camino, a Breaking Bad movement. She also recently reunited with Paul, sort of, in the Audible's new drama, The Coldest Case. You can see this on video. Music's biggest night is finally here, and EW and People are teaming up once again to get you pumped up for the Grammys. Entertainment Weekly and People's Red Carpet Live Grammys Award pre-show will be hosted by People's Jeremy Parshan and Janie Rubenstein today from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. As with our Emmys and ACM pre-shows in September, the special will be broadcast live from our New York studio. The show will consist of both pre-taped interviews and live one-on-ones with music's biggest stars at the Grammys. The annual award show is happening uncharacteristically late this year. The Recording Academy announced in early January that it was pushing back the January 31st ceremony to March due to concerns on the spread of the coronavirus 19. Trevor Noah hosts tonight's celebration, which will air from Los Angeles Convention Center, starting at 8 p.m. Paramount. Music superstars include Taylor Swift, Cardi B, and Harry Styles, who are among the confirmed list of performers. Also set to the stage are Bad Bunny, Black Pumas, B.S., Brandy Carly, and many others. We are looking so forward to seeing all of them. Should be wonderful. Blue Ivy Carter wins Grammy, becomes second youngest honoree at the age of 9. Talent really does run in the family. Billie Ivy Carter won her first Grammy Award alongside mom, Beyonce, on Sunday afternoon, picking up hardware for Brown Skin Girl during the Grammy premiere ceremony. Carter, 9, is the second youngest artist to win a Grammy. Leah Pichu won Album of the Year for The Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack in 2002 when she was B, Brown Skin Girls, is from the 2019 album The Lion King, The Gift. The Grammy premiere ceremony began streaming live at 3 p.m. ET on Grammy.com, and the live broadcast at the 63rd Grammy Awards begins at 8 p.m. ET on CBS. Scheduled performances include Taylor Swift, Megan Lee Stallion, Billie Eilish, and Brandi Carlin, and Harley Styles. Should be wonderful. We'll look forward to seeing it tonight. The Hills alum Lo Boshworth says she suffered a traumatic brain injury 2 years ago. Lo Boshworth is opening up about the first time about her traumatic brain injury. On Saturday, the 34-year-old The Hills alum detailed the incident in a reflective post. 2 years ago in March, I suffered a traumatic brain injury, she says. I didn't tell you guys about it, Boshworth began. I was at the restaurant in Lower Manhattan, which shall remain nameless by accidents happened, and while sitting in a banquet, had one of the swinging kitchen doors fall off his hinges and on my head. The reality star added, I was in the hospital and I suffered a moderate to severe concussion for months. I took weeks off work and the road to recovery was long. I remember visiting a friend and a few weeks later and feeling totally lost on 3rd Avenue and the 21st Street, not knowing which direction to walk in. I still struggle to recall words from time to time and get my thoughts out a little too late. But I'm still continuing my lengthy recovery. One day I had to put my head down on my desk at work because of sheer exhaustion, and I did fall asleep. Boswin said that she laid in bed for months and months, and whenever I could, she would continue to work full-time on her women-focused personal care business. Long story short, one of the reasons I've been so committed to healthy eating and fitness since the pandemic started is because it's a full-time year from the head injury, mono for me, to be in place where I could even consider exercising with regularity, she wrote. This post is dedicated to my health, and it is very important that everybody stay healthy as well. Please take advantage. She also noted that she started feeling off towards the end of 2015 when she experienced a racing mind, impulsive behavior, insomnia, and after that she started taking medication for depression and going into therapy. Boshworth said she continued on a vicious cycle and saw good months as well as bad. This story originally appeared on People.com. Irish singer and TV star Carmel Quinn dies at the age of 95. Irish singer Carmel Quinn, who sold out Carnegie Hall on St. Patrick's Day for 2 decades, died on March 6th from pneumonia, according to Deadline. She was 95 years old. Quinn was born in Dublin on July 21, 1925, and moved to the United States in 1954. She won the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scout radio contest in 1955 and went on to appear at Arthur Godfrey and His Friends, the Pat Boone Chevy Showroom, the Ed Sullivan Show, Match Game, and Candid Camera. She was nominated for a Grammy Award for her recording of Patrick Muldoon and His Magic Balloon, and her live theatrical performances included star roles in Wildcat, Finian's Rainbow, The Sound of Music. Quinn received the John F. Kennedy Award for Excellence in her field in 1991, the second woman to do so. Quinn, who married and divorced Irish businessman William Fuller, is survived by her children, Michael, Jane, and Terry. Her son, Sean, died of a heart attack in 1988 at the age of 31. She is also survived by 5 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. Quinn's family confirmed her death, which occurred at her home in New Jersey. The American Oscar race is feeling the British Academy of Film and Television Arts ripples from across the pond. 1 year after a diversity controversial plague, BAFT, one of the most significant leads up to the Oscars, has announced its annual crop of film nominees amid a busy week on the awards trail, naming Nomadland, Miranda, and a host of projects from diverse filmmakers at the tail end of the Academy's March 5th to 10th voting window. Well, there will be many, many more. Other mainstays in the race did push through the highly singular list of nominees, including supporting actress Mariah Bilyeu for Brexiting Movie Bum, supporting actor Daniel for Judas and the Black Messiah, and lead actors Chadwick Boseman. We will look forward to seeing all of these people and learning more about the Academy Awards. Watch the King of Queens reunion honoring Jerry Stiller. Arthur might have been a throne in Doug's side, but the King of Queens cast is still gonna celebrate him, or at least the man who brought him to life. Should be wonderful. Watch the video featuring a special cast reunion of the beloved sitcom, all in tribute to the late Jerry, who was last impact of a show as the honoree Arthur in the special. The cast gathers to read a classic episode of The King and Queens and celebrate the life of Stiler, who died in 2020. Those of us who made The King of Queens are incredibly excited to reunite in honor of our recently departed friend. The uniquely funny, sweet, incomparable Jerry, and series creator Michael J. Winehorn, in a statement, We have no doubt that Jerry will be watching and screaming down at us from heaven. The event features much of the original cast, including Kevin James, Leah Remini, Victor Williams, Gary Valentino, Patton Oswalt, Nicole Sullivan, and guest star Rachel Dratz. Series creator and executive producer Michael J. Wynard is directing the event. As part of the tribute, the reunion is also raising money and awareness for a cause near and dear to his heart, Henry Street Settlement, a social services, healthcare, and arts organization that only serves the Lower East Side and all of New York City. That's where he got his start. Styler died in May of last year, and this marks the cast's first official tribute to him. But there's no strangers to informal reunions, no. Famously reunited with James on canceled CBS sitcom Kevin Can Wait, after the show killed off James' character's wife, played by Erin Haynes, to make room for Remini to take over as the female lead. The casting shuffled and the show's name inspired the title of upcoming AMC Kevin Can F.K. himself. It should be wonderful. What a talented and well-respected man Jerry was. We'll look forward to seeing that. Jennifer Lopez knows the truth about her relationship with Alex. On Sunday, the day after the pair issued a joint statement saying that they're working through some things following reports that they had split, Lopez shared and said, "I know things are going to work out." At one point in the clip, which is set to Sweetie's Pretty Bitch Freestyle, Lopez 51 includes several headlines, two of which referenced her relationship with a former New York Yankee 45. One headline referenced the news of their reported split, while another highlighted comments of Alex made on Saturday, telling photographers, "I'm not single." Also included a story where Lopez exclusively opened up to people about why she clapped back and accused of getting tons of Botox. "I ain't worried about the blog. I know who I am. Every lie off of your lips gets me views." It should be great. The pair later announced in a statement that they're staying together but working things out. They never officially broke up and talked about it, but they're still together. "They hit a rough patch, but we aren't broken up," a source close to the pair told People, adding that the speculation that arose last month, what had to do with an affair in Southern Charms' Madison LaCroix that had no bearing on their rough patch at all. "She's working in the Dominican Republic and he's in Miami, so it's tough seeing each other, especially with the quarantine and the coronavirus," the source has said. But they want to try to stay together. Earlier this year, Lopez talked about having to postpone their wedding because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. "We postponed the wedding twice. We had planned that was really, really didn't want to do it, but we had to. We canceled it, and since then, we haven't really talked about it. There's just no rush. We want to do it right when we can do it." She also shared last month that she and Alex were going to therapy. Lopez and Alex got engaged in the Bahamas in March 2019 after dating for 2 years. Over the past year, the couple has spent time at home during the pandemic with their blended families, Lopez's 13-year-old twins, and Mark Anthony and the farmer Ella B's player's daughter, Ella 12, and Natasha 16, with ex-wife Cynthia Curtis. The story originally appeared in People.com. Survivor Quarantine Questionnaire. Nina Acosta felt like a failure after early exit on One World. With Survivor filming for seasons 41 and 42 delayed due to the coronavirus 19 pandemic, EW is reaching back into the reality show's past. We sent a Survivor Quarantine Questionnaire to a batch of former players to fill out with their thoughts about their time on the show, as well as updates on what they've been up to since. Each weekday, EW will post the answers from a different player. When asked on her pre-game bio questionnaire why she wanted to be on Survivor, Nika Acosta had a pretty simple and direct reply. I just want to prove that a 50-year-old woman can compete. I love challenges, both physically and mentally. Unfortunately, she didn't get much of a chance to prove it. Nina was the first person voted out of Survivor, One World, and the second eliminated after Courtney Moon was medically evacuated after a wrist injury in the first challenge. Even though the former athlete who went to college on a full basketball scholarship outperformed tribe mates in challenges and was only cut loose on day 5 due to being in the majority female alliance on Salina, Nina says her ultra competitive nature made her early exit very tough to swallow. There was a point in time when I returned that I regretted doing the show, says Nina. I was very disappointed in my early exit, and I just felt like a failure. I kept reliving the few days I was there and how I could have done things differently to keep me in the game. However, that feeling faded, and Nina recognized that there's only so much you can manage in the game of Survivor, and that sometimes the numbers and the people you're playing with are simply not in your favor. I eventually realized that it's so much more of an experience than it is a control, Nina said. So I tried to focus on how lucky I was just to have the chance to compete on Survivor. For those of you who felt shortchanged by Nina's all-too-brief Survivor, stay back on season 24, fear not, because the recently turned grandmother delivers all the goods on her time on the island, as well as what she's been up to since her quarantine questionnaire. Well, Nina proceeds to say, I officially retired in 2015, but continued to work 2 days a week in a civilian position at the Fresno County Sheriff's Office. Retirement allowed me to finally pursue my dream of becoming a master gardener, so I completed the program in 2019. Since Survivor, 3 of our 4 children got married, and we have 1 grandchild. Our youngest is graduating from San Diego State this May, so my husband, Joel, and I are empty nesters, and we are absolutely loving it. Maintaining a high level of fitness has always been important to me, and the older I get, the more important it is to maintain. I give the credit to the staff at Athletic Performance Fresco for helping me reach my fitness goals while staying injury-free. One of the questions she was asked is, what is your proudest moment ever from playing Survivor? She responded, I think simply agreeing at a fairly advanced age to participate in Survivor and not to be afraid to compete on a show that is definitely geared to showcasing younger people. She was also asked, what is your biggest regret from your Survivor experience? She responded, my biggest regret is that I didn't play more aggressively. When Jeff announced that the tribes were to be divided, men versus women, my heart just sank. I knew this was the worst possible scenario for me, and I wasn't prepared for it. I was 25 to 30 years older than my tribe mates, except for Monica Culpepper. I was married with children, and the majority were single with no children. It was difficult to find common ground with the women. From the beginning, I felt like I had a huge target on my back. In hindsight, I should have created as much chaos as possible prior to tribal council to see what would stick. I had nothing to lose. Another question was, what's something that will blow fans' minds that happened out there in the season but never made it to TV? Well, she said, not sure if it's mind-blowing, but Colton Cumbie spent an excessive amount of time in our camp that didn't appear on TV. He really got along with the tribe, me included, and I was surprised and impressed how he managed that, and it's not affecting his standing with his tribe mates. Another question was, how do you feel about the edit you got on the show? I think all Survivor contestants agonize over the edit. In reality, how you look and how you act is accurate because it's live and 24/7. There are no retakes. I think I may have come across a little bitter and angry, but in reality, what I was feeling was frustration because of how dysfunctional our tribe started out. I really did not want the audience to look at us and say, yeah, women can't get along and really can't compete head-to-head against men. Professionally speaking, I have always worked in a male-dominant setting, so this circumstance was something I wasn't ready for or willing to accept. I felt we should have been much more better than the way we were that we performed it and act earlier on it. If you recall, the guys actually threw a challenge as part of the strategy. I think that was a turning point, allowing the women to dominate the remainder of the season. I don't think that would have happened without the guys' help. On another note, I was not prepared for how I looked after the cargo net face plant. Wow, I look tough. Another question was it like coming back to regular society after being out there? Was there a culture shock or an adjustment coming back? She responded, it was awesome coming home. I really missed my family. I had no trouble diving back into my routine as a wife and a mother. The downside was I was back to work in 2 days, and I went from tropical paradise to an office with a pile of work waiting for me. The only difficulty I had was keeping the secret for so long. People kept asking where I had been. A lot of my friends thought my husband, Joe, and I were getting a divorce because I was absent from the kids' soccer games and other events. It was really hard to keep covering up. Another question was there ever a point during the game or after that you got back where you regretted going on the show? There was a point in time when I returned that I did regret doing the show. I was so very disappointed with my early exit and felt like I was a failure. I kept reliving the few days I was out there and how I could have done things differently to keep me in the game. I eventually realized that there's not much that I can do. It was out of my control. So I tried to focus on how lucky I was just to get the chance to compete on Survivor. Another question was, whom do you still talk to, text, or email with the most from the season? She said, I talk to all the people. I spent time as a pre-juror, and we got to know each other very well. And there are people that I would have seen as friends, and we had met under different circumstances. I attended Matt's wedding, and we have enjoyed watching his beautiful family grow over the years. Bill and I talk regularly, and he had visited and stayed with me and with my family. Do you still watch Survivor? What is your favorite season? Will you or will you not? Oh, absolutely. My favorite season by far is Kangenyan. There were so many big personalities on that season. Cass, Sarah Spencer, and of course Tony. It was a very strong, interesting cast. Finally, one question. Would you do it again if asked? The competitor in me would jump at the chance just to see if playing under different circumstances with different people would help me get further in the game. I feel like I'm still in really good shape, and I could be an inspiration to others by age to challenge themselves. Survivor was such an awesome experience, one that I will never ever forget, she said. And in the process, I met some great people, including fellow competitors and Survivor crew and staff personnel, where lifelong friendships were created. However, I would reluctantly say no to Survivor again. It's a long time to be away from family and friends, and as I get older, I realize how precious time is. I don't want to miss any moments with them. Well, to keep track of our daily Survivor quarantine questionnaire, you can watch Survivor on Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, and there are more options as well. iCarly stars Miranda Cosgrove, Nathan Chris, and Jerry Traynor reunite at Kids' Choice Award. The iCarly crew is back. Miranda Cosgrove, Jerry Traynor, and Nathan Chris, who starred in the popular Nickelodeon series reunited at the Kids' Choice Awards on Saturday. During the event, which saw the appearance of the stars both in person and virtually due to the ongoing coronavirus 19 pandemic, Koskov 27, Trainer 44, and Chris 28 took to the stage and shared the excitement for the upcoming reboot of the beloved show. This is so great to be back here and together again with you guys, and also our show is coming back, Koskov explained. We need to celebrate, he said. I'm thinking maybe balloons, fireworks, t-shirt, cannons, confetti in the shape of our faces, and then we throw an all-night pizza party paid by someone else, not us. That all sounds good. Or do something even cooler, Chris chimed in. When Trainer asked, what's cooler than a free pizza party? Chris responded, we hand out a blimp. The three all practiced social distancing and presented the orange blimp for favorite movie to Wonder Woman, 1984, Gal Gadot, on hand to accept the prize. This is just the latest iCarly reunion to happen. In January, Koskov shared a photo of her with Trainer and Chris on the set of the series for the revival for Paramount. At the time, a representative for the show told EW that Koskov's post was from a promo shoot and that production had not begun yet. The original comedy ran from 2007 to 2012 and starred Koskov as Carly Shay, a teenager who hosted a popular web show with help from her friends, Freddie Krask and Sam Jeanette McCurdy. Often joining their shenanigans were her older brother Spencer, Trainer, and friend Gibby Noah Mook. McCurdy would go on to star in a spin-off series, Sam and Cat, along Arena Grande. However, don't expect McCurdy to appear in the revival. On her podcast earlier this month, the star confirmed she quit acting and said she was embarrassed by her past roles. McCurdy still left the door open, though, if the right opportunity came along for her to work with a director she admires. I feel like I have a point of view and I have a vision. We'll see where things are in a few years, she said. That is the story. Sharon Osbourne says she was blindsided by controversial Piers Morgan's discussion on The Talk. Sharon Osbourne claims CBS executives directed the producers of The Talk to blindside her with questions about Piers Morgan's during Wednesday's controversial discussion on the show, saying she felt like a lamb held out for slaughter. On Friday, the longtime co-host of CBS talk show told Variety, I was blindsided, totally blindsided by the whole situation, she says. In my 11 years was the first time that I was involved in planning the segment, she added. I blame the network for that. On Wednesday's episode of The Talk, Osbourne had a heated exchange with co-host Cheryl Underwood about her defense of Morgan, who made controversial remarks about Meghan Markle in the wake of the Duchess's recent interview with Oprah. Did I like everything he said? Did I agree with what he said? No, Osbourne said, because it's his opinion. It's not my opinion. I support him for his freedom of speech, and he's my friend, she added. I'm not racist. I don't care what color or what religion anyone is. Are you a nice person? That's what I judge you on. Underwood pushed back, asking how Osborne would respond to people who may feel that while you're standing by your friend, it appears you gave a validation or safe haven to something that he had uttered that is racist, even if you don't agree. Both Osborne and Underwood became visibly emotional as the conversation continued for several minutes. Speaking to Variety, Osborne claimed that she told the talk's showrunners shortly before the episode began that it was fine for her to be asked about Morgan, but then I get on there and I say my piece, and Cheryl turns around straight-faced, looks at me, and is reading from a card with questions. She continued, I was just so hurt. I was caught off guard and stunned by what I was being asked and not prepared. I felt like I was in front of a firing squad. I felt like a lamb held out for slaughter. I'm a big girl. I'm a professional, Sharon said. However, CBS blindsided me. I don't know why they did it. The showrunners told me it came from executives to do this to me. Representatives from CBS and for Sharon did not immediately respond to EW's request for comment. Sharon previously tweeted an apology in the wake of the discussion, writing, "To anyone of color that I offended, and to anyone that feels confused or let down by what I said, I am truly sorry. I panicked. I felt blindsided. I got defensive and allowed my fear and horror of being accused of being racism taken over. There are very few things that hurt my heart more than racism. So to feel associated with that spun me really fast. I'm not perfect. I'm still learning like the rest and will continue to learn, listen, and to do better." Morgan, meanwhile, demanded an apology from the host of the talk for their disgraceful slurs against him. Sharon began shamed and bullied into the apology for defending me against colleagues, accusing me of racism because I don't believe Meghan Markle's bullshit, he tweeted. Earlier on the UK morning show, Good Morning Britain, Morgan said he didn't believe that Markle struggled with mental health and thought of suicide, as she told Oprah during the interview. He then stormed off the set of the show after a co-worker called him out for his comments and resigned from the program shortly thereafter. It was an interesting show, and there still is a lot coming out about the drama. Game on! LeBron James balls out in Space Jam, a new legacy first look. Squad goals. After initially passing 15 years ago, LeBron James is finally ready to take the Space Jam mantle from Michael Jordan in Space Jam, a new legacy. Out July 16th in theaters and on HBO Max, which graces the new corner of EW. It's something Mike created and is his. James says of the beloved franchise, "I held that with a lot of responsibility, as does EW in premiering this highly anticipated first look." Putting the jam in Space Jam. I had that wow moment, like, Mom, I'm going to do this. I'm really shooting Space Jam. Jamie recalls of putting the Toon Squad jersey on for the first time. A Looney Squad. Move over Anthony Davis and the rest of the Lakers because James' new running mates are Tweety and the Toon Squad. We were reminded very quickly why the Looney Tunes works, says new legendary producer Ryan Coogler. When we watch the parts of the film featuring the tunes, you have a smile come over your face because it's yours from generation that you missed. A hair-raising hoop dream. It was very important to me to be traditional about the Looney Tunes portrayals, new legacy director Malcolm D. Lee says of Bugs Bunny and Company. Well, James and son Dom Secret Jones are pulled into the Warner 3000 Entertainment server verse by Don Chico's Rouge, AILG Rhythm. The MCU veteran doesn't consider Al G a bad guy. What bad guy does, but rather an AI with a chip on his shoulder. From war machine to artificial intelligence, half of the fun is going into the minds of an AI. What do you think about themselves? What do you want everyone else to see, says Chico. Well, we'll just have to wait and see what the final Goon Squad says. The new Lola. Upon watching Space Jam for the first time in 2019, Lee was caught off guard by the original's very depiction of Lola Bunny. This is 2021. It's important to reflect the authenticity of strong, capable female women. The Girls Trip filmmaker says of why they reworked the player. All in the family, LeBron and Dom aren't the only members of the J family. I would step back and marvel that I was part of something like this, who plays strong-willed James and on-screen kids Harper Lee, Alexander, and Kiki Wright. Well, it sounds like it should be wonderful, and we'll all look forward to watching the new star. Blake Lively jokes that Ryan Reynolds didn't even invite her to meet Brad Pitt on Deadpool 2 set. Most of us will never get to meet Brad Pitt, but no one would think most of us would not include Blake Lively. As fans may recall, Pitt made a blink and you'll miss a cameo in Deadpool 2 as the invisible hero Vanisher, appearing for a split second as the character dies by electricity. Oh, in the comments of the post, looking back on the cameo, Lively, who was married to Ryan Reynolds, quipped, "Weird, my husband didn't even invite me to the set that day. I was so disappointed." Reynolds and Lively are known for trolling each other and others online with their merely the latest instincts. Reynolds previously explained that Pitt did the cameo for free. "I wrote him a very thoughtful letter as to why I think this would really be fun and funny and would require no more than 7 minutes of his time." Reynolds told the EW in 2008, "Somehow, the answer was yes. He said, I would like to be paid in Starbucks coffee, I said. You mean the franchise or just like one individual beverage? Because the latter I can do. Reynolds and Lively married in 2012 and welcomed their third child together in 2019. A daughter named Betty, as Taylor Swift fans are well aware by now. Well, sounds like he did a very charitable thing. Well, my friends, that's about all for now. I hope you enjoyed everything that you heard today, and I want to continue to tell you to please stay safe, and we will look forward to talking to you next week from EW. This has been Betsy. Have a great and safe week. Thank you. Bye-bye.